Welcome back to the Woman of Marvel podcast, where we assemble to chat all things Marvel and more. This is Judy Stevens, producer.
Hi, I'm Christina Harrington. I'm an editor in the X-Men office, and today we have the supreme joy of talking to Tamara Bondvillain, who's our colorist on a number of titles, including Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, and Uncanny Avengers. Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well.
We're excited to talk coloring with you. I feel like a lot of fans might not know exactly what it is that colorists do or what they bring to the table. Can you talk a little bit about what it is that colorists do? What is it y'all do, I guess?
yeah, sure. I mean, I guess the most obvious, we color the pages. Actually accomplish, I guess, other than just having color. Yeah, it can help bring focus to certain elements that otherwise, wouldn't be there. Can affect the mood and atmosphere of the page. I don't know. beyond that, really.
Yeah, one of my favorite things, so I got a chance to work with Tamara on Nighthawk, which was, oh my gosh, that it feels like ages ago, but that couldn't have been that long ago, right? But one of my favorite things... Yeah, just last year, which is nuts. One of my favorite things that you did with that book, and one of the things that I see you doing in Moon Girl and in Uncanny Avengers too, is that you color block different locations kind of beautifully. Like, your color choices on Nighthawk were all kind of neon and poppy and sort of gorgeous, and you were able to categorize locations, because we jumped around a lot in time and place in that book, so we always knew where we were every time you turned the page. So that's another cool thing that colors do, and something that I think you do exceptionally well. I always loved getting those Nighthawk pages in, because I was we're in the same place, it's fine. yeah
that's a good point. That is it's easier to just very quickly look at something and you can see a dominating color or palette overall versus a black and white. I mean, you can obviously good art, you can tell that you're in a different location, but it's just a more immediate, obvious thing in color.
How do you go about approaching that kind of thing? Deciding which scene is going to get a specific palette? How do you go into color choice?
Yeah, mostly I kind of intuit it, but I guess in the background of what I'm thinking is, so you kind of there's certain givens that you have to accommodate. So I read through the scripts and I look at the art, I try to take it all in before I begin on an issue. And so some things may dictate something you have to do specific for a scene if it's specified in the script or the artist asks for a certain type of look. So I might start thinking, okay, this has to be that. Now, what can I do that separates these other things from that? So if you have a daytime scene, it's warm colors. Any other scene you want to look different, so I might go cooler colors or darker, or just choose a different kind of specific color to be the kind of kind of dominating thing on that page so it feels different. And just kind of work backwards from there.
That sounds awesome. With Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, Lunella is a relatively new character. Were you able to participate in the creation of her in terms of the palettes used for her clothing, her room, that kind of thing?
Yeah, most of that. Natasha does, she'll do design work. Some of the stuff is already, she'll color a sketch. So the current arc right now where they're kind of in space, she designed those costumes, she designed the color on that as well. I think her initial clothing, she designed the color, but in this book they're changing clothing all the time. So that stuff I'll come up with. Her room, I came up with all my, all the location stuff. I think except for her lair, she may have had some stuff. I can't remember. It's been a while since that debuted. But I'd say most of it I get to, unless she's established something either on the covers that she does now or through her design stuff. But for the most part, I get to come up with the different things.
Lunella is such a fun character. She's very young, but she's very old in the way that she does stuff. She's very smart, and she's sort of I'm not a little kid. I'm smarter than my parents. So I love seeing that personality come through in the colors. You seem to really lean into it. She's got fun poppy colors for her clothes, lots of lavenders and things like that. But it still feels sort of she feels older in the stuff that she wears and the ways that she behaves.
Yeah. Yeah, it was I think coming into Moon Girl, it was a little different for me at the time. Like, I'd kind of come off doing a lot of very, like, kind of rendered things, but in a different way, like, kind of more, like, painterly, or maybe not realistic necessarily, but more towards realism. And this was just, like, so cartoony and, like, you know, like an all-ages thing, kind of wanted to feel, like, fun and, you know, interesting. So I just kind of, like, kind of leaned into just doing, like, really wild color schemes and stuff like that. And, like, over time, I think that's come together pretty well.
That's great. Do you want to talk a little bit about what rendering is? Because this is another thing that, like, colorists bring to the table over flat inks and things like that.
Yeah. Trying to think of how to word it. So, like, there's, you know, like, flat, which would be just black color. There's no render. There's no white and dark to the characters or the background. It's just, like a chair is a solid color. A person's shirt is a solid color. That would be, like, flat color. And then if you think of, like, a cartoon where they're often, it's rendered, but it's very simply rendered, like, call it cell shading, where it's basically, like, there's the mid-tone and then there's just the shadow. Maybe there's a highlight on it. So, like, simple delineation of light and dark. And then if you go, like, really more realistically rendered, you have, like, smooth gradations between those things and, like, a lot of different levels of light and dark depending. So a lot of other stuff, like I said, I was doing before that or during that was more like towards realism, or just like more rendered, maybe not realistic. So. But then, like I said, on Moon Girl, you know, it's cartoony, so I want to kind of lean into that aesthetic more. And I still do rendering, but I try to keep it more simple and colorful.
Yeah, in a lot of our... A lot of the notes that we send to colorists on our end and editorials end when we get stuff in is about rendering, which is basically modeling faces too in a lot of respect. That's correct, right? Like making sure that like if a bridge of a nose isn't drawn into it, that you're highlighting that the bridge of that nose in shadow and highlight.
Sure.
Yeah, Tamara, you did this beautiful thing on Nighthawk, which I loved, where you added pores on people's faces over Ramon Villalobos' inks, which I was just, like, blown away by. I kept, like, I would keep zooming in on different people's faces and being like, she added pores. It was kind of incredible. If you get a chance to get your hands on a digital copy or something, and you can zoom in or you can look really closely on your printed copy, you can see that happening with colorists. Colorists will add depth to faces, will add texture to faces. You differentiate between, like, the way that light shines on hair versus skin versus clothing. It's an incredibly complex process. How do you usually start it? Like, what's the first thing that you do when you get a page of inks in?
So, usually you'll start with flat color, which, like I said, it's just the base colors that everyone has. And for that, pretty much every colorist has people that flat for them. It saves time because it's not like a creative part of the process. It's kind of like just kind of like grunt work stuff to save time. So you'll have people just like fill in the lines basically, like, and that just helps you when you get it. So you start with that. Those colors that they pick though are just kind of like random or whatever they decide. So we'll change that when we get it to be the actual palette that we're going to use. So at least in my case, I'll try to like kind of work towards the general direction of what I want with those flat colors. See, I'm just trying to think how to do it without getting like too technical. So I just kind of like start building up this thing called layers in Photoshop, which are just kind of like things stacked on top of each other, right? And those different layers I use to do the rendering. So I'll have like a layer that I use to apply shadow or use to apply different lighting effects. So I'll just kind of like slowly build up the different rendering layers. And some stuff, like I said, there's not that much. You go pretty flat and it's just like simple shading, simple lighting. But it's generally the same process for everything. It just might be a little bit more streamlined than some things.
That's awesome. I didn't know about flats until I was hired as an assistant. Like, it wasn't a thing that I had thought about. And so when my colors would be like, cool, can you send me those inks so I get them flatted? I'd be like, I don't know what this is. Yes, here you go. And it wasn't until... I worked with Nathan Fairbairn on the first arc of Nathan Fairbairn's also a colorist. I worked with him on the first arc of All New Wolverine, and his blog. That's how I found his blog. His blog is amazing because he just walks you through the steps for what he does for coloring, and there are like GIFs, so it's nice and flashy, and you can be like, "Cool, let's just watch this happen." And that was sort of like how I found out about. You know, about flatting and about like adding different layers, like what flat colors look like versus cell shading versus highly rendered stuff. And yeah, it's just, it's so like coloring is one of my favorite processes because you guys really breathe life into those pages. They come in, they look rad as inks, and then we get them back as colors and we're just like, oh my gosh, this is a comic book, which is always a lot of fun. Yeah, so I love talking this kind of stuff.
I know. It's so interesting, like, talking to colorists, how important the colors are to set the mood and the theme, just using, like, the color, like, to use sort of, like, if you're going to use bright colors, you're going to use, you know, dark muted colors, like, it definitely brings a scene to life because you'll look at art before it gets into color and you're like, okay, I get what's going on in this page, but you kind of need that you kind of need that, like, oh, this is like a somber mood or this is like a super happy mood. And that's what the colors bring to the tables. So I think it's always so interesting to look from black and white to color, which is very much what you do. It's sort of very important. But on a second level, like, how did you get into coloring?
Yeah.
I went to the Kubert School. So you just kind of have like a general comics focus kind of curriculum there. People aren't familiar with it. So I learned a lot of stuff there. Like, by the time I'm getting towards the end of school, like, I think coloring was always kind of my favorite part of the process, and I felt probably more strong, like I was stronger in that area anyway. So I just kind of, like, leaned into it. And also, like, knowing a lot of students from there and just connections through the school. You know, I guess other people liked my coloring. I did a couple, like, small little things with them. And just kind of, like, slowly building from there. I was always kind of, like, looking for lots of work. But that just kind of like started to click in place, like as I got out. It's like it kind of just eventually happens. Yes, I was like working with some people who liked my work, maybe recommended me to a friend. I'd work with them and then branch out. And some of those people would go on to also like be like more prominent doing things in the industry. So just kind of like through working with people and making connections, it just slowly kind of like that became my job.
That's rad. Yeah.
It's like a job that you don't realize that is needed in comics, and it's an important job. And also, I feel like colorists do so much more work than pencilists do.
There's a lot of heavy lifting involved in coloring that I don't think fans see or realize, from everything from like evoking a certain mood or feeling on a page that might be there on the surface level with the pencils and the inks, but like colorists really pull something from like deep inside of you and you don't realize that you're feeling it. Like you get like creepy greens happening in the background or sickly yellows and you start feeling it in your heart. And I think that's probably why I love colors so much. I love that whole process of creating the book. You guys pull something from those pages that otherwise wouldn't be there.
Yeah. I definitely think like if you're saying issue to issue, to draw a single issue is definitely harder, more time consuming to color a single issue. But you have to color multiple books. You have to kind of juggle this thing. And a thing I guess probably a lot of people don't know about since they, as you said, like most people don't know about flatters and things like that. You're kind of like been playing like middleman to other people. Like, so you get stuff in, and it's like, okay, I have to find these other people. I have to hire, like, through me to work with me, get it back in time so that I can finish in time. And actually, at a certain point, I started using an assistant when I started getting more work. So it was, like, another, like, person. So I got, like, a pipeline going, like, flatter to me, to my assistant, back to me, like, all in time, like, trying to get it in time to, like, finish. And then, like, coordinate and keeping your head and having to, build, like, pay those people. And, like, so it's, like, there's like that involved. But if you're drawing it, I wouldn't say that it's easier or harder, but at least on that, it's all on you. And there's definitely people that have assistants for backgrounds or stuff. But like generally, it's more like simple. Like it comes to me, I draw it, I send it off, I'm done. Kind of thing.
And you have to work with the artists too. I know that you and Ramon talked about Nighthawk and like the kind of approach that you wanted to have and the colors there. Do you have conversations with your artists usually, or is that an unusual thing?
Varying degrees. Like, Ramon I knew before we started working on Nighthawk. So, like, we were already, like, talking regularly anyway. So a lot of those were, like, we worked out together. Some were, like, he would just send me, like, a picture of something with, like, a palette he had in mind and just figure out how to make that work for that scene. Other scenes, he was just like, whatever, just, I like, do what you're going to do. Some people I barely talk to, and other people I have, like, somewhere in between. It just, it depends on the project.
Yeah, I think that's comics. The comics, hashtag, it depends on the project. Well, that's awesome. Do you have any advice for anybody who might be looking at getting into coloring?
There's, like, some good videos. There's a friend of mine, his name is K. Michael Russell. He has a bunch of YouTube tutorials for coloring. He has some free ones, but also he has, like, a course. It's maybe 50, 60, I don't know how much it costs, but he's got, like, a more dedicated thing for it. There's some other ones out there. They're probably good ways to, like, you don't know, to get into it. I think sometimes flatting can be a good way to get into it. Just kind of develop a relationship with colorists and kind of get a feel for doing certain things. Get a feel for, like, trying to perform on deadline and stuff. That's really a big thing that you need to, like, learn. And, yeah, just a lot of practice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing that I think a lot of people don't know either, is that colorists are usually at the tail end of the schedule for getting the book out. So the fact that y'all are able to deliver such beautiful pages, usually on a much shorter timeline than other people are getting on the project, is like, you guys work magic in my personal opinion.
Yeah, that's what I say, like, learning deadlines and, like, being efficient and on top of things is definitely, like, a good skill to learn on top of the actual coloring as well.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a good skill in life.
Yes. Especially in comics, but in life in general.
Oh, that's great. Do you have like a panel or a page that's sort of like you're working on right now or you recently finished that you're like super proud of or just loved the challenge?
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like whatever I'm working on at the moment. Like the Moon Girl stuff I'm doing, I really like these like space scenes. They've been real fun. It's like they're kind of like they're like these outdoorsy like thing, but they're on an alien planet. So you just get like, instead of being like green and brown trees, just like go crazy and just make all sorts of wild colors that aren't, you know, anything that appear on Earth, but have been kind of fun to play with, get really wild with the color there. I was working on something else recently that was like another kind of in nature thing, but on, if not Earth, it was like basically Earth. But that stuff was fun. I don't get to do that as much. Just kind of like the whole issue with just them walking through the forest. And it was like cool getting to try different, to make that progression. It was like a progression from dawn to dusk, like throughout the issue. So get to do like, you're in a forest, but to make it look different and interesting as it progressed throughout the issue. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, that's great. A lot of our books take place in New York City or another city. So I'm always like, how are my colorists going to tackle this one? The same skyscrapers over and over again.
Is there something that you like find particularly hard to color? Like, is it a skyscape or is it something like hair?
I'm trying to think. There's definitely things. I think the foliage stuff was kind of difficult. Just because, like you said, a lot of stuff takes place in like a modern day setting or like in the city or suburban or whatever, but usually not like just in nature the whole time. So it was like a little adjustment kind of learning that stuff. As far as dealing with the city stuff, I don't find it too hard. I just sometimes try not to treat it so literally, you know, where it's like, so it's like, whatever, this one's kind of orange and this one's like blue or whatever. And just let that kind of dominate the scene and not worry about like the literal color of the skyscraper and things like that. It's hard to say. Things come up, but can't think of anything other than that.
Well, you're probably working on such a hard deadline that you're like, I don't know, I need to learn how to do this. I did it.
Yeah. That is like a motivating thing a lot of time, that it removes a lot of that kind of, I don't know if it removes it, but it makes you not be able to like dwell on that kind of anxiety of like, well, how do I do this? It's just like, well, this is the best I got right now. just do it, learn from it, and then next time you'll do better.
Crowd scenes always seemed kind of difficult with so many people, like bystanders or little figures, and you have to like color them all independently.
That's definitely true. Crowds are very, nobody likes crowds except for writers, maybe. Yeah, so that can be tough because you want to, like, depending on the artist and the level of detail, you know, like, you want to differentiate them enough to where it looks like it's a crowd, but not too much to where, like, it just becomes a random, like, scattering of color that doesn't, like, gel, like, collectively, like, as a palette. Yeah, that is really tough. It's more time-consuming, I think, than it is particularly challenging. It's not so much that it's that more challenging, it's more that it's just time-consuming compared to, like, you know, a few characters on a page versus, like, hundreds of people on a page.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun to me. No.
Yeah, that sounds like a pain. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about or, like, bring people's attention to for in terms of, like, what colorists do, like, things that people don't usually talk about?
I mean, I feel like I covered a lot with, like, the flatting and, like, sometimes I don't think it's as common, though. I know some colorists use, like, assistants to, like, help out, but kind of, like, logistics of doing that. I don't know. I try occasionally to share, like kind of before and after things or like process kind of images so you can see like how it builds up from the black and white to the finished. Just, I think it's sometimes hard to communicate it like through words and it's easier just to see it. Like, this is what it looked like. And here's kind of like intermediate steps to the final process and see what a difference that makes. So I try to periodically share that stuff.
I always like watching Nolan Woodard occasionally post a live coloring. And so he'll like work off of flats or off of a partially rendered page to like finalize it. And I always love watching that because it's just like the choices that you have to make. And then you think that it's done. You're like, cool, that page is done. And then Nolan's like, no, that's not done yet. Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, Nolan's interesting. I met him a couple of years ago, I guess. And like he was one of the first people that I talked to that, like, I think most colorists or a lot of colorists kind of, like, develop their own method. It's like you said, a lot of information's on alphabets. It's kind of like you learn on your own and just what works for you. And it's just the final product that matters. So, like, the way you get there can differ from, like, so much with the colors. But when I first talked to him and he was telling me a little bit about how he worked, he was, like, just kind of, like, lit up. And he's like, whoa, it's, like, so similar to how I work. And I feel like I work very differently from most people. And they usually, like, talk to me like I'm crazy or something, or some of the things I do, they're so different. But it was nice to like bond with him because it was like a lot of overlap in our process.
That's cool. That's so interesting that everybody's got a slightly different approach. I feel like for pencilers and inkers, like the approach is pretty codified at this point. Like, you know, yeah. Everybody does layouts first to figure out what the page looks like and then maybe approaches that page differently. But it's, you know, if you're going to draw Captain Marvel, you're going to draw Captain Marvel. Like that's how this works. But for colorists, the approach, it sounds like it is varied between like artists.
Yeah. I think just because it's like such a Photoshop, it's mainly what people use, as far as, you know, almost everyone does that. You know, it's like a lot of like technical things, and there's so many ways you can arrive in this kind of the same location that everyone's way of getting there, streamlining the process. It's kind of just a process of figuring it out. There's definitely people that have similar methods and stuff, but I think a lot of people just kind of have to learn on their own.
Yeah, everyone has their own sort of shortcuts on Photoshop, and everyone has their screens slightly different, and, you know, it's something that, like, as firstly trained as a photographer, like my Photoshop setup is so different than like, you know, one of my good friends who's also a photographer. So like when we use each other's Photoshop, it's like, oh, this is so wrong.
There's different brushes too. I'm sure that everybody uses like different types of brushes in Photoshop and it's so customizable. That's just, infinite different ways of doing things to get to the same result.
So it makes it fun, right?
No, I like it. It's nice. Like I definitely learned, like I said, I went to the Kubert School. I learned stuff there. I'd say it was less technical minded there as far as like computers and stuff when I was there. So a lot of stuff I had learned like before I went there, because I'd been using Photoshop for a while and just didn't really have information to go on. So it was like me figuring things out. But then still picking up little things here and there from other people and kind of like cobbling together, like from all these pieces of information you got to like make your own method.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of comics, Photoshop is still fairly new. So the fact that that you and other colorists are still like figuring out how to use it to the best of your style and like how to use it to best color pages is kind of fascinating, like watching the way that coloring has evolved over the course of the medium, but even just over the course of the last 10 years is kind of fascinating. Like go back 10, 15 years and pick up a comic book and the way that is colored is going to be fairly different from how it's colored today.
Yeah, it's weird because it can be kind of jarring sometimes. You forget and you look, it's like, whoa, that's so drastically different. Yeah, I definitely think it's come a long way. I mean, I definitely think there's been like great colors all along. It's just just like evolution of like how it's approached and stuff. It's been pretty like amazing to watch.
Yeah, the technology for actually doing the coloring and then the technology for reproducing the coloring in print has advanced so much. I was talking to, so every once in a while we get into debates over eye color in editorial and we're just like, what's their eye color? It's been so different over the course of so many years. And one time I walked down to Tom Brevoort, because that's what you do. You walk down and you talk to Tom. And you're like, Tom, the buck stops here. What is the eye color? And I asked him, I was like, why has this changed so much? And he was like, well, back in the day, if you had like a green eye that's going to be yellow and blue mixed together and the two dots for the eye might not match up exactly, and so your green eye might just be look kind of funky, and so people had blue eyes because it was one dot of color, that'd be it, you didn't have to try to match two, nobody would look kind of like cross-eyed or anything. And so that's why so many of our characters have blue eyes starting out. It's because it was just easier to print it that way, which I think is fascinating. And then over time, people forgot and accidentally colored, you know, the eyes brown and green. And
I'm like very like anal about that kind of stuff. So I'll always like Google like characters' eye colors and stuff like that.
Yes.
Hoping it's accurate. I don't know. But it gives me somewhere to start. I figure too, like sometimes I'll just be like, whatever, I'll make it whatever color. They'll tell me if it's wrong.
Yeah, which we're supposed to.
The editor's job.
Yep. But yeah, I always thought that was so interesting. And yeah, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. This has been really fun.
What's your Twitter so people can follow you on the internet?
Sure. My Twitter's T Bond Dylan, and it's not a lot of Bond Dylan, so it's easy to find.
This is true. You've got such a good last name.
It's great. Bond Dylan. You know, sometimes we get lucky.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. I love talking to colorists.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Okay, this is Marvel, your universe.